We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit ElkhornComputer.com, then give us a call. ElkhornComputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
One o'clock hour. I'm going to get to Robin Washington here shortly. Do want to apologize. We're having some issues with our signal right now. So if you're listening over the air and it's fuzzy and it's up, we apologize. The app is coming in crystal clear. So you can download the app or you can go to 1620zone.com and you can listen to the stream. You certainly can do that. But right now we're having some difficulties with the stream. We're trying to work on it over the air. The stream is crystal clear right now. But we're trying to get some people to work on it. We appreciate your patience. All right, we appreciate it. 402-951-1620. Mitch Light is going to stop by in about a half hour. Excited to talk to Mitch, get his take on what we saw this weekend in college football. Maybe he can help put some lipstick on the pig that was the Big Ten this weekend, but no promises there. Mitch is coming up in about a half hour. But right now, let's fire up this guy.
It's been leading up to this, and now is the time.
No one can save the day like Robin Washit of Husker Online. Robin will
make you sway. I'm just going to say, enough with the rock, boy. If somebody could just punch Littlefinger in the face, might actually have to tweet at you and we can cyber high-five each other. No one can
save the day like Robin Washit of Husker Online.
Pretty jacked. X here.
Robin Washit. This is every Tuesday at this time. Robin, boy, I tell you what, I did not anticipate we'd be talking about an 0-2 Nebraska team heading into the Michigan week. Didn't think that'd be happening, man.
You didn't, I didn't, and I don't think anybody listening did. So yeah. We have to adjust on the fly, call some audibles, and deal with the hand we're dealt here.
So what did... let's start with, I was a little surprised with, so what surprised you the most with what unfolded against Troy? Besides just the fact they lost. The offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line, not being able to control that game. I thought that was going to be one of the biggest advantage they were going to have, especially considering how well they played against Colorado. And they just did not show up. They didn't protect the quarterback. They didn't establish a run game. They allowed too many sacks, too many tackles for loss, and wore down at the end of drives. So really across the board, they came up short. And that was a game they absolutely needed, that offensive line to step up and carry the load with, you know, a walk-on quarterback getting the start. So them not answering the call and almost being more of a liability than anything was definitely a surprise for me.
Were you, I think yesterday Frost was asked, I don't know if Sip asked him about if he was if he saw any of this sloppiness coming, like in August. Did he see some, like, you know, penalties and just general? I mean, that's one thing that's been interesting is just how sloppy things have been. What did you make of Frost's answer there, if you can recall that?
You know, I'm sure that he doesn't want to say that he inherited a total mess, but I think that it goes back to some of the comments they made, you know, even way back when he was first hired about you know, changing kind of just the culture about their preparation a little bit. And, you know, they mentioned the word buy-in about 1,500 times during that press conference. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, I think guys, you know, you can talk about how, you know, locked in you are and how much, you know, you're trying to prepare for a game. But if you don't do the right things necessary, you get the results that we've seen on game day with the sloppy play, the mental errors, and just kind of, you know, just, trying to think of the right word, poorly trained team, you know, that we've seen from Nebraska over the first two games. And that, I think that's kind of what he was getting at, that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we talked about from day one are still lingering and problems they still have to try and address here. So, you know, that's going to be something that's going to probably face them all year and is going to be a situation that they have to continue to address, game by game, day by day, before it's actually finally at the level of, you know, productivity that they needed to be.
What do you think? How do you think the quarterback situation gets managed with Martinez now? I mean, he's practiced for two straight days. I mean, I think he's trending towards playing, but it's obviously a delicate situation to deal with right now if you're Frost.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple ways you can think about it. You know, obviously, I don't know if they stand a chance against Michigan without Adrian Martinez. But the question is, Frost has said time and again, this isn't a short-term decision. You know, they're going to take in all of the long-term factors with playing him before they put him back out there. So if he's, you know, 85, 90%, are they willing to take any, you know, long-term setbacks for a potential short-term gain in a game where, you know, they're 18-point underdogs? Or do you sit him another week, let him get another week of recovery to get closer to 100%, and have him, you know, full go ready when you return home for Purdue? So I think there's a couple different directions that are going to come down to about a $5 million a year decision that Scott Frost is going to have to make here. Until we really know the full status of where that knee is, you know, yes, he's been able to practice, but you know, has he been 100%, you know, fully cleared for everything? We don't know, but from the reports yesterday, and then, you know, Divine Azigbo talking about him today, it seems that things are trending upwards with him. And if that continues, and I think that for them to win this week, they're going to need Adrian out there. So that might ultimately be the final decision maker.
I tell you what, Robin, you know, people forget that the talk and the chatter before the season was, hey, Frost's offense and system, it's going to move the ball and put up the points. The question is the defense. What can Chenander do with this group? I mean, that was, people were way more concerned about the defense than they were the offense. And I'd say through two games, I've been way more impressed with the defense than I have been the offense.
Yeah, no doubt. They've been really good. And they've been doing it against just fairly potent offenses. You know, obviously Colorado got playmakers across the board. And, you know, they were essentially able to keep that game well within reach and put themselves in a position to win that game. And then last week they gave up 17 points by the defense. And a lot of those came on, you know, a couple big plays here and there that extended drives where the defense looked to be in control. So, you know, the defense has done its job and probably better than anybody probably could have expected, but they need some help. You know, they can't go out there and do it on their own. And so, you know, they need the offense to pick it up. They need the special teams to pick it up, because for this thing really to reach its full potential, they're going to need everybody clicking on all cylinders. We haven't seen that anywhere close over the first two games.
How do you size up this game? Because there's so many variables with this thing and whether Martinez plays or not. There's also an enigma factor with Michigan to a certain extent. Like, you know, I mean, they played Notre Dame, didn't look great, and they played two not very good teams, and you know, you just don't know if they figured something out or if they played bad teams. Like, how do you size up this weekend?
You know, I think with Michigan, you kind of know what you're getting. They're one of the few true pro style offenses where they're going to use a fullback and, you know, play two tight ends and have a quarterback under center. You know, they have the mobile quarterback dynamic with Shea Patterson, but by and large, it's still going to be Jim Harbaugh's pro-style scheme. And so this is going to be a complete 180 from what Nebraska's seen the first 2 weeks. You know, they were seeing really schemes that were very similar to their own offense. Now, as Mohammed Berry said, this is going to be a game that's going to be won in the trenches. This is going to be the, you know, front seven of Nebraska's defense versus offensive line of Michigan and those running backs. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, this offensive line for Nebraska is going to go up against one of the best defensive lines in all of college football. And they also have two of the best cornerbacks in the Big Ten Conference. So the challenges are going to kick up in a major way for Nebraska in really every aspect. And so the fact that this is their first, you know, road game going into hostile territory, and the evidence that we've seen from the Huskers' first two games, it doesn't bode well, and that's kind of why you're seeing the early projections of, you know, Nebraska being an 18-point dog.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the results you get. And so, you know, I think you know more about Michigan than you do what Nebraska really is, because we've seen so many flashes of what Nebraska could be, but it just hasn't all come together nearly consistent enough to have a confidence that, you know, the good Nebraska is going to show up. And then you add in the variable of this being the first time this team has had to take their show on the road. It just doesn't set up very favorably for Nebraska. But that said, you know, there have been plenty of times in the past where going on the road is exactly the cure a team like this needs, you know, to just get away from the Nebraska football bubble, you know, the campus, Lincoln, and, you know, everybody asking questions and all that stuff, and just focusing on themselves. You know, hate to use the old Bo Pelini us against the world mentality, but I think there is something to that. So maybe that could be the shot in the arm to get this team dialed in and focused, unlike they have been the first 2 weeks, but it's certainly not going to be an easy task any way you cut it up.
Robin, in your opinion, through two games, who is Nebraska's best running back?
I would say, I still think Greg Bell has done a really good
job. He's probably the most complete, you know?
Yeah. And he hasn't just had that home run ability, which is kind of, probably been the only knock you can have on him. I thought he's done a real good job running between the tackles, broken some plays, for big games. They just haven't been the game-changing plays. And so that's, kind of where he is. He's been consistent, but he hasn't been as dynamic as I think some people thought he would be. I think Maurice Washington obviously is quickly emerging in that conversation. He's still obviously got a long way to go with his strength and conditioning before he can be an every down back. But, talking about an offense that is kind of lacking those home runs, I think Maurice Washington is a guy that brings that to the table and then some. So, Divine Ozigbo, he is what he is. Nebraska knows that. But if Greg Bell can take his game up another notch, I think he is definitely the clear number one, with Maurice Washington quickly closing the gap as the number two.
Is he okay, Washington?
As far as we know,
okay.
He hasn't been brought up at all.
I think
the reports were that it was just a bone bruise.
Okay, because he was...
I know he was seen riding the bike towards the end of the game. So he walked off the field.
Okay,
I don't think there's anything extensive. Probably just more pain management than anything.
Gotcha. Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com, joins us every Tuesday. Robin, good stuff, my man. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good, Nick. Talk to you later.
You got it. Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. Anybody that saw that Washington hit... Boy, he took a shot to that knee, and then when he went over to the sidelines, he was almost looked like he was crying. I mean, he was distraught in pain. And so it's good to hear that he at least he walked off. He was riding a bike because certainly they need him. I mean, it's weird when you look at Nebraska's running backs right now. They all bring – you like Ozigbo's thump that he brings. He probably runs the hardest. Greg Bell probably is the – or Maurice Washington's the most elusive and electric, and then Greg Bell's the best blend of the two. But I would say all three right now have been just okay. I would say one of the things I'm most surprised with is the lack of explosive big runs from Nebraska. Nebraska hasn't been a potent, big play kind of offense that you kind of thought with this system that's kind of what it would look like. But that hasn't been the case so far through two games. 402-951-1620. Hey, before we go to break, got to get this guy back on. Eric last week, he called up, said Troy was going to win. He was right. I was wrong. Eric joins us now. Eric, what's up, man? You all right?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Going good, man. You were spot on, man. You were right.
Dude. I called the score. Well, not the score, but I said about 7 points. Am I right?
You did. You nailed it.
All right, man. So I was just wondering, are you back on this planet yet?
Am I back on the what?
Are you back on this planet yet? Planet Earth?
I've never left, my brother. I've never left.
All right. Hey, I got a prediction for this week, man.
Right, what do you got?
All right, man. Well, Nebraska's going up to the big house. They're going to have to call it the slaughterhouse after this week.
Uh-oh.
I predict a score 38-9.
38-9. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blowout.
And the main reason is because?
Because that defense, man. They're going to have a hard time getting it past the 50-yard line.
Okay. Yeah, that D is something serious, something fierce.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. And one more thing.
Yep.
Go blue, baby.
There you go. All right.
All right, man.
Appreciate you, Eric. He was right. I was wrong. He was right. I was wrong.
Oh, because the Nebraska sucks.
All right. Hey, one final open segment. If you got a thought, hit me up. You can email me, nick@1620thezone.com. Hit me on Twitter, @NickBond. Of course, 402-951-1620. Sounds like we got the signal fixed and everything over the air is crystal clear, which is good. Get Mitch Light in about 15 minutes. Game time.